As we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides and pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot where you can jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God's saying to you so that we can pray for you and encourage you on the journey. We're actually going to all use the response sheet at the very end, so make sure you have that handy for you. And as we prepare to jump into the message, I invite you to join me in prayer. Gracious God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. And so we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Have any of you heard of the Mythbusters? In the show, the hosts Adam Savage and Jamie Heineman, they test the validity of rumors, myths, movie scenes, adages, internet videos, and news stories. I'll share a few of the theories that they tested. First one we'll start with relates to Thanksgiving, since we just celebrated this holiday. You were probably told that the tryptophan in turkey makes you sleepy. How many of you think that theory is true? How many of you think it's false? Well, the Mythbusters tested it, and it is false. It's the large number of calories that we eat on Thanksgiving that make us sleepy, not the tryptophan. Here's another theory. A sailboat can be powered by an onboard electric fan. How many of you think that's true? Well, not as many that time. How many of you think it's false? It is true. If the wind dies on you, you can actually power your sailboat with an electric fan on board. You're not going to go very fast, but you will move. One other theory. The color red makes a bull charge. How many think it's true? False? It is false. It's movement that attracts a bull more than color. Well, thanks for having a little fun with me this morning. I thought it might be kind of fun to approach our gospel reading like the Mythbusters. Jesus presents a theory in our gospel reading for how to live a blessed life. It's kind of a different message than we tend to hear in our culture. Our culture tends to evaluate blessings by what we get or what we have. But Jesus says that true blessings come not from what we get or what we have, but from how we give and who we help. In the gospel reading, Jesus says those who give and help the least of these are the ones who are truly blessed. Those who don't, he adds, are cursed. Now, I won't make you raise your hand this time, but how many of you think that theory is true? How many of you think it's false? Does your life match your answer? Since this is such a countercultural theory, I thought it'd be interesting to test Jesus' theory like the Mythbusters. Before I get into the test, maybe it will help to back up and provide some context for the theory. Our scripture reading comes at the very end of Matthew chapter 25. This chapter contains three stories from Jesus designed to prepare his followers for what was to come. Jesus was about to die, rise, and ascend to heaven. He promised that he would return one day. The stories illustrate what it means to be ready for Jesus' return and how to live until he comes back. And we see with each of the stories that Jesus is forming a new kind of community. I mean, when we look out in the world, so often we see hatred, violence, discord, deception, injustice, oppression, suffering. That's not the life that God made us for. Jesus came to save us for something so much better. And he's forming a new community that can embody God's kindness, compassion, unity, truth, justice, freedom, and sacrificial service to all people. The final part of this chapter is one more story in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. In this story, Jesus says, those who give and help the least of these are the ones who are truly blessed. He identifies six categories of the least of these. Those who need food, those who need water, those who need shelter, those who need clothing, those who are sick, and those who are in prison. So I set out this week to test Jesus' theory. Fortunately, I had a lot of data to work with. Good Shepherd has ministries that impact each of these categories. And so this week, I sent out dozens of emails to people who participate in these ministries to test the theory. And I'd like to share my results with you and conclude with a challenge. So category number one, food. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Good Shepherd has many ministries that provide meals locally and around the world. This week, I connected with Julie Dwyer, who leads our Angel Meals ministry. This ministry delivers meals to members of Good Shepherd, people in our community who need a little extra help getting through major life events like cancer, death, surgery, birth, chemotherapy, special needs, etc. Julie was a recipient of meals after the birth of her son. She remembers what a relief the meals were and how they often arrived with a heartfelt note. The meals were so meaningful for Julie that now she helps coordinate meals for other people. She rarely receives feedback from recipients, but that's not what motivates her. Julie says she's fulfilled every time she gets another email update that says another person signed up to help a family in need. This week, I also heard from Tom Duffy, who serves with Feed My Starving Children. Tom said that when volunteers come and give 2 hours to help pack meals, they're literally serving the least of these. Back in 2014, Tom visited Batey 106 in the Dominican Republic. This is an area where Haitian immigrants live. Life is hard for these immigrants. They can't go back to Haiti, and there's no support for them by the Dominican Republic government. Adults work in the sugarcane fields 8 to 12 hours a day, making only about $1 to $2 a day. When Tom visited, the malnourishment percentage for children was over 35%. Thanks to the support of ministries like Good Shepherd, Feed My Starving Children launched an assistance program. And now today, the malnourishment rate has dropped from over 35% to under 24%. Still too high, but great progress. And now these children are learning in schools and dreaming of a brighter future. Tom says he has so much joy being able to share God's love with this community and see the difference that God is making through our gifts. Category number two, water. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. Through our partnership with World Vision, Good Shepherd has been able to provide access to clean water in places around the world like Africa. This past week, I reached out to two men who ran the marathon with World Vision. Andrew Dewar, he said that his training routine for 6 months was to roll out of bed half asleep at 5:30 a.m. and fill his water bottle with water. And it was at the sink that Andrew had an awakening. He realized it took him only a few seconds to fill his bottle with clean, safe drinking water. While the kids he was running for had to walk all morning to draw dirty water out of a well that would make them sick because they had no other option. Andrew wasn't a runner. He didn't think he could ever complete a marathon, but he wanted to give these kids another option. And he said the verse that propelled him across the finish line was, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Dave Musson also ran the marathon, and he said the greatness of the experience wasn't about running a race. It was about the blessing of being put in a position to help other people. Category 3, shelter. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Good Shepherd has ministries that provide shelter locally and around the world. Two ministries that provide shelter locally are Hesed House and Rebuilding Together Aurora. This week, I connected with Carl and Diane Broughton, who have been serving at Hesed House for over 10 years. Hesed House provides meals and shelter for those in need. Carl said that initially they were surprised to realize a lot of the families they served were just typical everyday families who had fallen on hard times. He remembers the dad of one young family who lost his job and then lost his home. Carl says the work that they do at Hesed House is worth the effort, and they're touched every time at just how much the people they reach are grateful for their presence there. Rebuilding Together Aurora serves the elderly, disabled, low-income families, and veterans who need help repairing their homes. This week, Dwayne Hosmer and Ed Newhart shared memorable moments of their work with RTA. Dwayne remembers helping an elderly woman replace her back door and repair her back porch. After the work was done, the woman was so excited. She said, "I haven't been out here in years." It turns out that porch was a favorite place for her to sit with her husband, who is now deceased. Dwayne felt so happy to be able to bring back such a happy spot and happy memory for this woman. Ed remembers a time when he was working on a home, and the woman whose house they were working on prepared lunch for all of the volunteers. He knew this was a sacrifice, and it brought tears to his eyes at her generous act of gratitude. Good Shepherd also partners with Cheryl's Children Home to provide shelter for children in Nairobi, Kenya. This week, Ken Holland told me about his experience of sponsoring Brian Juma. He met Brian in 2006. Brian was 8 at the time and had no parents. His grandma brought him to Cheryl's because she couldn't take care of him due to her own illness. Since then, Brian has completed elementary school, high school, and a college internship in chemical engineering. Brian also teaches Sunday school at Cheryl's Children's Home. Ken has been able to see Brian in each of his visits and says God has blessed him through the relationship he's developed with Brian. Category number 4, clothing. I needed clothes and you clothed me. We have trees set up throughout our church with opportunities to give and help those in need. One of the trees is called the Mitten Tree. We're invited to decorate the tree with mittens, gloves, hats, scarves, blankets, which are delivered by our preschool to Green Harvest Food Pantry, which serves families in local suburbs. This past week, I heard a story from the owner of the pantry. His name is Jeff Green. Late one winter night, Jeff got a call from a mom and her children who were sitting in a gas station. The mom had decided that night to leave a relationship that was abusive. When he first met the family, they were shivering from fear and from the cold. And thanks to the generous donations from organizations like Good Shepherd, Green Harvest Food Pantry was able to help this family in many ways, including clothing them with warm gloves, mittens, and blankets. Jeff said he felt blessed to be a blessing. 2 more. Category number 5, the sick. I was sick and you looked after me. This week I contacted several people who participate in ministries that care for sick locally and around the world. I heard back from Denise and Amir Hodge, who serve as medical missionaries in Honduras. Their journey started on a mission trip with Good Shepherd. Amir says he feels blessed when he's giving medical care to someone who literally can't afford it and wouldn't otherwise receive it, and then to see their health improving drastically because of what they did. Denise verbalized the blessing in this way. She said, "It's a feeling deep down in your soul of incredible satisfaction when you give of yourself or your resources and see the joy in the face of the person receiving whatever it is you are giving." They mentioned how blessed they are to see how God provides for their needs as they give and as they serve others. This week, I also heard back from Sandy Sand. She shared a powerful blessing. In 2007, Sandy went on a mission trip to Africa. While she was there, her team got to spend time with AIDS patients who were in their last days of life. Their team traveled to a remote hut and visited with a man named Simon. They put soothing ointment on Simon's face, which caused him to smile with delight. They prayed for Simon to receive comfort and feel love. Although Simon was in his last days of life, his one request was for a Bible, because it was through the kindness and compassion of their team that his heart was transformed by the love of Jesus. And he was given a hope beyond death, that he would have an eternal waiting place where there was no suffering and there was no pain. This week, I heard lots of other stories just like that, of people being blessed through caring for the sick. And the last category, number six, is prison. I was in prison and you came to visit me. We have several members involved in prison ministry. Another tree in our church is called the Angel Tree. In partnership with Prison Fellowship, Angel Tree provides presents for kids whose parents are incarcerated. Diane Schlake helps lead this ministry. She says one of the blessings she experiences are smiles. Behind every door they knock on is a family who's experienced tremendous brokenness. And yet when they see the gifts, it brings a smile to their face and to hers. Jeff Ruge is another member who visits inmates at Statesville Prison. And Jeff said the greatest blessing for him is to experience God's presence and power at work. He recalls once they got a donation of life recovery Bibles. They passed it out to the inmates. A long time later, one of the inmates came back to thank Jeff's group. He shared how that Bible had been instrumental in his own recovery from addiction. And now he was using that very same Bible to help other inmates break free from their addictions. Jeff says many of the officers now thank his team when they come because they've seen such a dramatic difference in the inmates that they are ministering to. Wow. I set out to test Jesus' theory, and the results were overwhelming. Every single person I wrote to confirmed Jesus' theory. Every single person reinforced that true blessings come not from what we get or what we have, but from how we give and who we serve. I only scratched the surface. We have tons of other ministries, tons of other people I could have surveyed. But my hunch, my theory, is that they would all back up Jesus' theory. So how about you? Do you believe Jesus' theory is true? Do you believe it's false? Does your life align with your answer? Because really the only way to validate Jesus' theory is to test it out in our own lives. Recently, I had the opportunity to test out Jesus' theory at the DuPage County Jail. I host a community prayer group at the police department every Wednesday to pray for the police, the community. During one of our prayer sessions, I felt like God was leading me to share his love and forgiveness with men who had been arrested in our area. I scheduled a visit with a man that I'll call John. John had done some awful things. And I wasn't sure about how I'd feel being with John or what I'd even do when I was with him. God inspired me to read him the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 and to tell him that God still loved him. And he was waiting with open arms to forgive him and give him a fresh start. John was kind of skeptical. He kept asking me, "Who are you? How do you know me?" It took almost our whole session for me to convince him I wasn't an officer or a spy of some kind. He finally lightened up a little bit. I went back to see John a second time. He explained that just before our first visit, he had prayed to God and asked if God could possibly forgive him for the things that he had done. And that's when I had showed up with a message of God's love and forgiveness. He had a hard time believing that it was true. But I assured him it is true. I told him Jesus loves you so much that he paid the penalty for your wrongs on the cross so that you could be forgiven and have a new life with God now and forever. And that day, the prodigal son came home. John prayed with me to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. I went back this week to visit John again. And during our visit, I realized that God had blessed me with tremendous love for this young man. As I looked at him, I no longer saw a criminal. I saw a beloved child of God. And God blessed me through John. During our visit, he shared a Bible verse that he had read and found meaningful. When he heard that I have another skin cancer surgery coming up, he offered to pray for me right then and right there. What a blessing. The word blessed literally means to be made holy. Jesus is forming a new community. He's reaching and transforming our lives so that we can better embody God's compassion, kindness, unity, truth, justice, freedom, and sacrificial service for all, especially the least of these. And our gospel reading challenges us to reflect on Jesus' 6 categories and to consider how we can give and who we can help in each of the categories. Now, some of the categories might stretch us more than others, but I think that's part of God's process to make us look more like him. Yet each category holds blessings, because Jesus is in each category. This is so important. Jesus chooses to identify himself with the least of these, the marginalized, the ones that have no one to look after them. And he chooses to be present and active in their midst. When we choose to separate ourselves from the least of these, we end up separating ourselves from Jesus and miss out on experiencing his blessings. On the other hand, when we give and help the least of these, we draw near to Jesus and get to experience his blessings of joy, love, meaning, purpose, fulfillment. Our communication team recently tried to capture the different ways that we give and help. You might not know this, but through the giving of our church, Good Shepherd helps support 55 organizations across 9 countries. Our giving helps individuals and families across every age and need spectrum. Our giving helps with education, clean water, healthcare, housing, refugees, prisoners, disaster relief, and more. Most importantly, our giving helps reach and transform lives with the good news of Jesus. And as you'll see, the blessings abound. Take a look.
tree. Thank you, God, for Yam!
Thank you, God, for the marriage ministry.
Jesus said, true blessings come not from what we get or what we have, but from how we give and who we help. So I'll ask you one more time. Do you believe this theory is true? Do you believe it's false? Does your life align with your answer? Is the only way to truly test the validity of Jesus' theory is to test it out in our own lives. So here's what I invite you to do in our response time. I want you to reflect on the six categories Jesus listed regarding the least of these. And then I invite you to do two things. First, celebrate. Write down a category you have been involved in and how you have been blessed. And then second, stretch. Write down a category that stretches you and consider ideas for how you can give and who you can help. Celebrate and stretch so that you might experience a life that's truly blessed. I'm going to give you a few moments with God. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. If you put your name and email, I promise I'll pray for you and write to you. You can put your response in the offering basket, or you could even scan the code at the top and do it all from your phone. Take some time with God, and then we'll close in prayer. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you so much for all the blessings that you shower in our lives. We thank you most of all for the blessing of Jesus, who saves us from sin and death through his sacrifice of life on the cross. God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before received that blessing, that they would make today their day to receive Jesus as their Lord and King. God, we hear you inviting us into a life that is blessed, not by what we give or what we have, but by how we give and who we help. And so, God, we ask that you give us wisdom to know how to apply what we've heard today and the courage that we to take the steps you're calling us to take so that we might experience the truly blessed life that you offer. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.